sitting still, driving, walking down a busy street, or even working at multiple screens online. The world seems to come at us like an oncoming train. Each day we stand on the tracks of the information overload unlimited, and each day the front of our brains, our senses, and short-term memory are left in the dust. Meanwhile, deep in our brains, you might say, it's more like a lazy day on the beach. Meandering, daydreaming, blocking out all the train noise, just laying around. One part of our brain gets run over, while the other floats in the clouds. Daniel Levitin is Dean of Arts and Humanities at the Minerva School at KGI on the Claremont campus in California. He says these two ways of paying attention are in conflict unless we slow down and get off the train tracks. Our brains simply aren't capable of dealing with the overload, and without downtime, the deep brain's creativity doesn't get a chance to work. He's the author of The Organized Mind, Thinking Straight in the Age of Information Overload. Daniel Levitin, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Nice to be back, John.
So, I think it's kind of easy for you to say, overload, we got to settle down, we got to take vacations. You're talking to me from Santa Barbara.
That's right. Yeah, it's gorgeous. You know, the thing is, though, I think even in our daily life, we are in this over-caffeinated time where we're asked to do so much more at work and at home. We feel as though if we stop for even 15 minutes, we're going to fall behind. And there's a research about this now. Neuroscientists have been studying this for 20 years, and a lot of the information they've discovered hasn't trickled down to the average person. And one of the big things is working like that with the pedal to the metal all the time is counterproductive. And there are a number of studies that show that if you keep trying to solve a problem or keep trying to push forward, you're not able to activate your creative problem-solving mode, which is a different mode of thought that kicks in when you're relaxing, either in Santa Barbara or in the annals of your own mind.
So stimulus, information coming at you in a giant stream, your printer may be able to deal with it because it's got a great cache. It can store, hundreds of documents in the front end of the printer. But our brains don't work that way. We don't store things in the front end when information is bombarding us. We actually kind of shut down.
That's exactly right, John. We store things in the back end. Our long-term memory is exquisitely capacious, but our short-term immediate memory, what you can hold on to in the moment, is limited to about three or four things.
Wow. Every day, people take in the equivalent of 174 newspapers worth of information, which is five times greater than what we were probably doing back in 1986. 21,274 television stations produce 85,000 hours of original programming every day, and we watch an average of 5 hours of television per day. I mean, that's a huge increase as well.
Yes, and it's no wonder all of us are feeling like we can't keep up. Take YouTube, for example, just to throw another statistic in the mix. There are 6,000 hours of new video uploaded to YouTube every hour. So if you're watching an hour of YouTube video, you're already 5,999 hours behind.
So when my kids say, I just want to chill, Dad, and watch TV and look at YouTubes, they're actually not chilling out. They're not relaxing themselves at all.
You know, YouTube, computers, browsing, and television watching, those are great leisure activities, but they're not the same as engaging what we call the default mode of the brain, the creative, free flow, free association part of our consciousness. That is an attentional mode that's well identified, and it trades off with being actively engaged in a task. And, there are several ways to get in that mode. One's to just stare out the window and let your mind wander. For those who have difficulty getting into that mode, a walk in nature can do it, or listening to the kind of music that you find to be mind opening.
How do you organize and structure your downtime to create this sort of vacation effect, even in the middle of a day?
Well, one thing that's very effective is naps. Even a 10 or 15 minute power nap can be very restorative, effectively hit the neural reset button in the brain. And according to some studies, it provides a working IQ increase of about 10 points. The other thing you can do is just take a break, take a little walk around and not think about work for 10 or 15 minutes. You know, we can all take a lesson from air traffic controllers. They have all kinds of things coming at them from different directions. There's lots of moving parts. And I think many of us feel that way in our daily work. Of course, there's less at stake for most of us than for an air traffic controller. But it's no accident that air traffic controllers are regulated. And after 45 to 60 minutes of on time, they're required to take a 15 to 30 minute break.
Now, if you're taking a nap, is it okay for me to say to my boss, I'm increasing my IQ on the job as opposed to, you know, being lazy?
I would think so. I mean, the research certainly bears that out. Or if you're just staring out the window or you're looking at a painting or a photograph that you find aesthetically pleasing, you're reading a book perhaps, anything that allows your mind to enter this kind of daydreamy mode. Have you ever been reading a passage and you find that your eyes have gotten ahead of you and all these words went by but you weren't paying attention?
It happens constantly to me.
That's the daydreaming mode. That's the restorative state that you want to get into after you've been working for an hour or so.
Why does it seem that the back part of the brain can veto the front of the brain in the sense that someone who really can't, you know, who's constantly got a to-do list going in their brain, no matter what it is that they're doing, even if they're just sitting reading the paper?
There's research on this too, and what it tells us is that if you can write that chatter, that stream of conversations or admonishments or whatever's going on in your head, if you can write them all down on a piece of paper, then your brain will stop trying to remind you that you need to get them done. And then look at them and figure out what it is you need to do to push them forward. So suppose one of the things in your head is, is it time to put Aunt Rose in a rest home? And this has been bothering you for days. Well, once you have it on paper, you can start analyzing it. Why is it I haven't made this decision yet? Well, maybe I need more information. What information will help me to push this decision forward? Do I want to visit the rest home? Do I want to talk to other family members about it? Do I want to talk to Aunt Rose? Do I want to have a cognitive assessment? Those are things you can actually do. The question, is it time to put Aunt Rose in the rest home? That's not really doable. And so it rattles around in your head until you figure out how to move it forward.
So if I just write down, what is the meaning of life, it's going to come to me.
It may.
Daniel Levitin, Dean of Arts and Humanities at the Minerva Schools at KGI and author of The Organized Mind, Thinking Straight in the Age of Information Overload. He spoke with us from Santa Barbara. Daniel, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.